ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. فحديثنا اليوم عن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا النبي الذي ختم الله به الرسالة وأقام به الحج على عباده إلى يوم القيامة. نتعرف عليه كإنسان وكرسول، فهو محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب ابن هاشم ابن عبد مناف ابن قصي ابن كلاب، ينتهي نسبه صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى إسماعيل عليه السلام ابن إبراهيم الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام، فنسبه من أشرف بيوت العرب، وهو في قريش من أعظم بيوتات قريش، كانت زعامة مكة قد آلت إلى جده عبد المطلب، فقد امتاز عبد المطلب على قريش بأمرين اثنين. الأمر الأول أنه حفر بئر زمزم، أي أعاد حفرها، فكانت له السقاية والرفادة، أي سقي الحجيج وإطعامه، وكان زعيما لقريش. فعندما جاء النصارى من اليمن يريدون هدم البيت الحرام كما في حادثة الفيل، من الذي انبرى لهم ورد عليهم وحاججهم؟ عبد المطلب. فجاء محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من أشرف بيوتات مكة، فهو المصطفى المختار عليه الصلاة وأتم التسليم.
الشيخ أبو أسامة سليم الهلالي حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to an-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and continued by bearing witness that there is no god or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and final messenger. He continued by saying, surely the best of words are the words of Allah, and surely the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely the worst of all affairs are those that are newly innovated. For every newly innovated matter in religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. He continued by saying, Amma ba'du. Our discussion with you today revolves around Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This prophet and messenger of Allah was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the finality and the conclusion to messengership. He was the last and final prophet and messenger truly sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he was also, since he is the final one, he is also the proof, the hujjah, the evidence for humanity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use on the Day of Judgment when He decides the matters of those who will enter Jannah and those who will enter the fire, comparing them into how well they associated themselves with this great man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our discussion with you today, we will discuss with you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a man first, and then as a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, as a man, his name and lineage is as such. He is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Manaf, leading all the way back to the son of Ibrahim, Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhim as-salam. May the salah of Allah be to both of them, the prophets and messengers of Allah, Ismail and Ibrahim. Therefore, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the most noble of lineages of all of the Arabs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this can be proven that his lineage, it leads back to prophets and messengers. Also, we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as his lineage was honorable and noble, so was his family name, meaning that he came from a family who were leaders of Quraysh, leaders of the Arabs and the region that they lived in. And this can be shown specifically in the example of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, where we see that Abdul Muttalib was elevated above the rest of the people of Quraysh. And we give you only two examples. The first is that Abdul Muttalib redug the well of Zamzam after the well of Zamzam had eluded the people. Abdul Muttalib was the one who redug it and showed them where the water was. So this is one important issue. And therefore he was given the honor that whenever anyone came to make Hajj, for they used to make Hajj before Islam, whenever anyone used to come and make Hajj to this region in Mecca, it was Abdul Muttalib who would have the honor of hosting them by giving them both food and drink. So this is the first noble characteristic. Second, that he was their spokesperson. His word was that of all of Quraysh. And this can be seen during the time when the Ethiopians came intending to destroy the Kaaba, when they brought their elephants, as was described to us in the Qur'an. He was the one who debated them and discussed and negotiated with them. So therefore we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of both noble lineage and of a great family name and of honor in his tribe and in his people. Sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Waliduhu huwa Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Wa kana أصغر أبناء عبد المطلب وأحبهم إليه، وأمه آمنة بنت وهب الزهرية من بني زهرة من قريش. توفي والده وهو جنين في بطن أمه لم يرى الحياة، ثم ولد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولد يوم الاثنين في الثامن من ربيع الأول عام الفيل. اختلف العلماء هل ولد يوم الثامن أم يوم الثاني عشر، والصحيح الذي عليه أهل التحقيق في السيرة النبوية أنه يوم الثامن، وولد يوم الاثنين. فقد سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صيام يوم الاثنين قال ذاك يوم ولدت فيه. إذن ولد يوم الاثنين من عام الفيل. نعم.
The Sheikh continues by saying his father Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib was the youngest son for Abd al-Muttalib, and he was the favored son of Abd al-Muttalib, this great leader of Quraysh. His mother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Amina bint Wahb, and she was also known, and her family was known as being of those who were known with goodness and with honor. His father died while he was still a fetus, or he was still in his mother's womb, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born on a Monday, and this is known because when he was asked, he said, I was born on a Monday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born on a Monday on the 8th day of Rabi' al-Awwal, in the year of Al-Fil, or when the Ethiopians came to conquer and to demolish the Kaaba. In some of the books of Sirah, it is stated that he was born on the 18th. Although we see that the most authentic narrations, that which is found in Sirah, states that he was born on the 8th day, and for this reason, this is why we narrate it to you.
وقد شهد مولده بعض المعجزات فمن المعجزة التي رأتها قريش كل قريش أن ملك اليمن النصراني الذي يسمى في كتب السيرة بعض كتب السيرة أبرهة الأشرم جاء لهدم الكعبة ولكن الله سبحانه وتعالى أرسل على جيشه طيرا أبابي سجلها الله صورة كاملة في القرآن ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل. هذه المعجزة رأتها كل قريش أن الله سبحانه وتعالى ذب عن بيته ودافع عن حماه. وفيها دلالة لمن يعقل أن هذه الأصنام التي كانت على ظهر الكعبة وكانت محيطة بالكعبة لم تستطع أن تفعل شيئا في دفع جيش أبرهة. ولكن عبد المطلب قال لأبرهة إن للبيت ربا يحمي إن للبيت ربا يحمي فأرسل الله طيرا أبابيل قذفتهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلتهم كالعصف المأكول وففروا ورجعوا خاسرين مدحورين. كذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا دعوة أبي إبراهيم. وبشرى أخي عيسى ورأت أمي عندما ولدتني أن نورا خرج منها فأضاء له قصور كسرى قصور بصرى.
The Sheikh continues by saying, at the time of the birth of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during that year and during the days of his birth, or when he was still in his mother's womb, it was a tumultuous time and there was a great many different activities. Many of them are known to be miraculous and attributed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first of those is the year of the elephant or the fil, when the king of Yemen, who was a Christian, who was named Abraha, solidified his forces and he brought people from Ethiopia and all over the different regions, intending to destroy the Kaaba. This was the year of the birth of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the time, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his negotiations, he said to him, before he came into the region of Mecca, that surely this house, the Kaaba, has a Lord, Rabban, and he made it in a singular, one Lord who will protect it. And this is something that is important because in the Kaaba and on its roof and surrounding it were many idols. Yet they at that time did not mention them. They mentioned the one Rabb. And therefore we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting this region because this would be the birthplace of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent the birds as is described in Surah Al-Fil, which we are all acquainted with. That Allah sent the birds and therefore repelled Abraha and his elephants and his forces and turned them away from the Kaaba. The second important point showing the miraculous time of the birth of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I am the answer to the dua, to the invocation, to the supplication of my father Ibrahim. Because we know that Ibrahim made a dua, O Allah, send to these people in this region a person from their own selves or their own people who will call them to the truth and recite to them your words. And he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the answer to this dua of Ibrahim. He continues in this authentic hadith by saying, "And I am the glad tiding of my brother Isa, alayhi salam, and my mother saw a light emitted from her during my birth, or at the time of my birth, that lit up for her the horizon so she could see the riches of Busra, which is a city that is somewhere near the Damascus and the Sham region."
وتوفيت أمه بعد ولادته بسنتين وكان قد استرضعته في بني سعد، أي أرسلته إلى بني سعد ليرضع وليربو أو يتربى في البادية ويتعلم اللسان العربي الفصيح. ثم كفله جده عبد المطلب، ثم توفي فكفله عمه أبو طالب الذي بقي مناصرا له حتى بعث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن هنا أمر هام. قد كان الرسول حريصا على أبي طالب أن يسلم، أن يؤمن، أن يقول لا إله إلا الله، وعلى سابقته في نصرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى لم يرد له الإسلام. كم كان حريصا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم على ذلك؟ يا عم قل كلمة، قل لا إله إلا الله، أشفع لك عند الله بها، أحاجج بك عليها بها عند الله. ومع ذلك فقد سبقت خاتمة السوء على عمه ومات كافرا. لكن في المقابل يا إخواني، انظروا إلى سلمان الفارسي، جاء يبحث عن الإسلام ويبحث عن الرسول من أقصى الأرض. وهذا فيه عبرة للبشر، عبرة للخلق، كما قال ابن القيم في كتابه الفوائد بعدما ذكر قصة سلمان، قال: كأن الله يقول لمحمد: يا محمد، أنت تريد أبا طالب وأنا أريد سلمان.
The Sheikh continued by saying that after the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mother passed away while he was at the age of 2 years old. And at that time he was being raised with Bani Sa'd, who were Bedouin, a Bedouish region, where they were to teach him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Arabic language in its pure form, and they were the ones who were his caregivers. And this was of the habits of the Arabs at that time. After his mother's death, and therefore his father had already passed away before his birth, he was handed over to his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, who in turn was his caregiver until he passed away. Then he was transferred, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Abu Talib, who was his uncle and remained his protector up until he passed away, or his uncle passed away. And in this there is a great lesson for you and I to derive, as the Sheikh points out to us. Abu Talib protected him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved him, helped him, and therefore the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed great earnest, great want that Abu Talib accept Islam. He would constantly return to him, invoking him, turning to him, please accept the religion of Islam, even at the moment his uncle was on his deathbed. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him and said, "My uncle, say the proclamation, say the word, La ilaha illallah. Say it so that I would have something to invoke Allah to give you protection, to make you from those who will be successful. Accept Islam so that I can turn to Allah on your behalf and make dua for you after you pass away." Yet he rejected, his uncle rejected the acceptance, and therefore died as a person of no belief, with no belief. And we also see that during this same time, the man, the great Sahabi Salman al-Farisi, the Persian Salman, came from a great far distance after having heard of the advent and the arrival of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of what he was speaking. He heard news of him, he left all that he did and left all his occupation and went to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from great many miles to accept al-Islam. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim states in one of his books that at this moment it was as if Allah subhanahu was telling him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you wish your closest relative and you wish for Abdul Muttalib to accept, but I wish for Salman to accept. Showing him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even if you love for the person to accept, if Allah had not wished the guidance for him and willed it, it would be of no value to speak, because it would be something that would not be accepted because it is decided by Allah Jalla wa Ala.
نشأ رسول الله بين ظهراني قريش وعرف بأخلاقه العالية بالصدق والأمانة حتى اجتمعت كلمتهم على أنه الصادق الأمين. وهاجر كل أباطيل قريش فلم يعبد أصنامها ولم يلهو لهو شبابها، حتى أنه لما شارف على الأربعين صار يتعبد في غار حراء، يتعبد في غار حراء لأنه لم يعبد صنما ولم يلتفت إليها. فلما كان رأس الأربعين بعثه الله سبحانه وتعالى رسولا إلى هذه الأمة ليخرجها من الظلمات إلى النور، ويدلها على عبادة الرحمن الرحيم.
He صلى الله عليه وسلم was known in Mecca and in this region and especially to Quraysh as being a person of truthfulness and a person of trustworthiness. And therefore this was before he was given the risala or the messengership. And therefore they gave him the title of a Sadiq al-Amin, the one who is truthful, the one who is trustworthy. Never did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worship any idols or fool around and get involved in the things that the people of his peers or his age group fell into. He was clean cut, he never involved himself with any of the idolatry or any of these frivolous things. And therefore we also see that up until the age of 40, he would sit sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in seclusion, contemplating the Creator Allah Jalla wa Ala. Although up until that moment he had not received anything definitive that explained to him why he had no attachment to these idols. And then at the age of 40, he was given the risala from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وعندما بعثه الله رسولا إلى هذه الأمة دعا الناس إلى عبادة الله ودعاهم إلى ترك الأصنام ودعاهم إلى أن يكونوا عبادا لله، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن يقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah as a messenger. And being a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first of the things that he would call them to was the tawheed and the ibadah of Allah, worship and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to repel and to distance oneself from idolatry and so forth. And therefore we see that he used to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been commanded and ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strive and struggle and fight against mankind, meaning those who disbelieve, until they say La ilaha illallah. Once they do this, they have ensured that they will have their wealth and their properties and their selves protected, meaning that it is enough for them to testify to this.
وَكَانَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ خَاتَمِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ فَلَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدَهُ وأنزل معه وأنزل عليه القرآن الكريم. القرآن الكريم هو كتاب الله لهذه الأمة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو آخر الكتب السماوية الإلهية، وهو ناسخ لجميع الكتب السابقة، وتعهد الله بحفظه من التحريف والتزوير، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. وكانت دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مبنية على ثلاث دعائم: أولا توحيد الله، أن يوحد العباد ربهم، يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم، قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت، أي يعبدوا الله وحده، وهذا معنى لا إله إلا الله. ثم يتبع النبي الأمي، لأنه هو الطريق الوحيد إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله، ومن يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. لذلك فلا طريق يوصل إلى الله إلا عن طريق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. كذلك جاء ليزكي النفوس، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. إذن دعائم البعثة النبوية، دعائم رسالة التوحيد، رسالة الإسلام ثلاث: توحيد الله، واتباع رسول الله، وتزكية النفس البشرية. نعم.
We see the Sheikh continues by saying of the mission that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given and delegated, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent and was intended to be the final messenger and the final prophet of Allah, the finality of all prophethood and messengership. Also, that the Quran was given to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Quran, when it was given to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was and is the last of the books to be revealed and given to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also abrogating and abrogates all the books that came previously before it. Also, it is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any additions or omissions, extractions, detractions, and so forth. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely we have sent down the reminder and surely we will be its protectors. Also, we know that the Qur'an, it is the spoken word of Allah, and we see the Sheikh continues by saying that the da'wah and the call of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was commissioned to instill three main things. First, tawheed. And this is through the singling out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely and alone in worship. Tawheed, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, surely we have sent to you a messenger who calls you and who gives you glad tidings and who warns you. Also, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, we sent messengers. Never did we send a messenger except that we commissioned him and ordered him to say to the people, An'ubudullah, worship Allah, and distance yourself from that which leads away from Allah or anything that is done that is in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second important point that was sent or that was given to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was commissioned to perform was to call people to al-ittiba', to following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make him the example that they use as a role model, to instill as the perfect example for them to mold themselves and their families after. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the book of Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, tell them, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. So therefore one cannot claim the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
and at the same time distance himself from the orders and from the actions and from the prohibitions or from the agreements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and fall into the prohibitions that he has outlined and has shown. Also, the third important point is at-tazkiyah, the purification, sanctification, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned him sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be a source where he is something sallallahu alayhi wasallam that people can take to purify themselves from idolatry, from misguidance, from so forth. And therefore we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him in this way in the Qur'an.
بعد بعثته صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد جاء لقريش بما تكره ودعاهم لما يخالف عاداتهم ومعتقداتهم ناصبوه العداء ورموه عن قوس واحدة بالأذى والتعذيب والاتهامات، فمر ساحر ومر كاهن ومر شاعر ومر مجنون إلى غير ذلك من التهم، ولكن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ثبت في وجه كل هذه الضغوطات ووجه هذه العقبات، وكان صابرا محتسبا ثابتا، حتى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لقد أذيت وما أوذي أحد، أوذيت وما يؤذى أحد. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أشد الناس ابتلاء الأنبياء، ثم الأمثل فالأمثل.
The Sheikh continued by saying, after he was given and delegated the messengership sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people of Quraysh rebelled, rejected, accused him and persecuted him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So at times they would call him a magician, at times they would call him a lying poet, at other times they would call him a deceiver. Many different titles accusing him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore this led to his persecution, where they would banish him and they would repel him and they would harm those who followed him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet in all of this he remained steadfast, staunch, knowing that he was upon truth and was sent by Allah jalla wa ala. And therefore we see he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I was harmed and none was harmed like me, meaning that he was given and the way he was harmed sallallahu alayhi wasallam, none shall see it after him. Also we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, those who are given the greatest hardships and trials for mankind are the prophets of Allah, then the closest to them in example, then the closest to them in example or in character and deeds.
وقبيل البعثة أسري برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى، سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله، ثم عرج برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى السماوات العلى. هذه القضية أو هذه المسألة، قضية الإسراء والمعراج، فيها دلالات كبيرة على الرسالة وعلى السيرة. أولها أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم الأنبياء، فقد صلى بالأنبياء إماما في المسجد الأقصى، وربط البراق في الحلقة التي كان يربط بها الأنبياء، فهذا دلالة على أنه آخر الأنبياء، فقد ائتم به الأنبياء، وأن رسالته رسالة عالمية لا يقبل الله سبحانه وتعالى من الناس إلا هي، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. ثم عرج به إلى السماوات العلى، والعروج والمعراج دليل على علو الله على خلقه، كما يقول أهل العلم بالعقيدة أن المعراج دليل على علو الله تبارك وتعالى على خلقه وأنه بائن منه. وفي هذه رحلة الإسراء والمعراج المعجزة الكبرى لنبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فرض الله على رسوله الصلوات الخمس، وهذا في تنبيه لعظم قدر الصلاة وأنها صلة العبد بالله، وأن لها المكان العظيم في الدين. فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وعموده الصلاة. ومن تأمل فإن جميع شرائع الدين، جميع شرائع المباني وغيرها من الأحكام، إنما نزل الوحي بها على رسول الله في الأرض، من السماء إلى الأرض، ولكن أمر الصلاة كان عجبا، فقد استدعي الرسول إلى السماوات العلى وهناك فرضت عليه الصلوات، مما يميزها عن غيرها، وأنها حد فاصل وأمر يتميز به المسلم، وأنه ينبغي أن يقيمها، أن يحافظ عليها، وأن يعظم قدرها، ولا يتهاون بها، ولا يؤخرها عن مواقيتها، وأن يتم ركوعها وسجودها، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. لقد كان من آخر وصايا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه إيش؟ الصلاة، الصلاة وما ملكت أيمانكم. واعلموا إخواني أن الصلاة آخر عروة في الدين، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تنقض عرى الإسلام عروة عروة، أولهن نقضا الحكم، وآخرهن نقضا الصلاة. فينبغي أن ننزل هذه الشعيرة العظيمة منزلتها التي أنزلها الله وأنزلها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا نفرط في شيء منها، وأن نؤديها كما صلىها نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, also from the miraculous activities that we see after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given messengership and prophethood, that he was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was taken in the journey that we know as being al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, where it was a two-part journey, the first of which he was taken sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Mecca from al-Masjid al-Haram, the vicinity of al-Kaaba, and he was taken on a beast that is known as al-Buraq, and this took him the distance from Mecca all the way to Jerusalem, al-Quds, in few moments of time. And there he met with all of the other prophets and the messengers of Allah, and he led them in prayer sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is important because we see the importance of al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, showing the importance of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, he led the prophets, and therefore it shows he is the final prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, that when he tied the buraq so that it would not flee or so forth, he was the last of those to tie it to the hook or the place sallallahu alaihi wasallam in al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Also, we see that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given the final message. He was the final messenger, and therefore Allah says in the Quran, "Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam." Surely the only religion that will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the people or from mankind is that of al-Islam. And he was the one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was the final one to come and proclaim this. Also we see in al-Mi'raj, after he came to Jerusalem and he led the prophets in prayer, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised up to the heavens where he was shown many great things. All of this is a physical nature. It was not a dream of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Mi'raj, when he went up and he ascended into the heavens, we see it is proof first that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established above His throne in the manner that befits His majesty. For the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up, not down or sideways. Also, and this is according to the scholars of Al-I'tiqad, the Aqidah and so forth. Also we see that the importance of Salah can be derived in knowing that it is the only regulation, the only obligation that was delegated to mankind where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called up to receive it. All others, fasting, hajj, everything else, was brought down and sent down, revealed to him. Showing you the importance of prayer, that he was called to Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be given this obligation of prayer. And we see in it, the Shaykh gives us a lot of important points. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that salah, it is the amud, it is the pillar of Islam. It is what holds up and elevates Islam. Also, we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed great importance in being conscientious of the times, the things that you do leading up to the salah, the making the proper washing and so forth and preparation, showing the danger of delaying prayer, showing the danger of abandoning prayer. He also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to advise the Muslims, pray as you have seen me pray. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Showing that it is something that you must follow in his example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also from the last words of admonition that he gave to the believers at the time before his death, and therefore ringing to the end, something that rings in our hearts, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salah, as-salah, pray, pray. Something that he ties to us and gives us as importance. Also we see that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the last obligations, the last things that the people will leave off, is prayer. Meaning that the first of things people might leave off, ruling, all of these things, they may leave off the laws of Allah, but the last thing that people will continue to pray, and this will be the last thing that will be taken away from them. So this all shows you the importance of Salah and the importance of Al-Mi'raj, showing you the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم هاجر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من مكة إلى يثرب التي أصبحت المدينة النبوية طيبة، وهناك أقام رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم أول دولة للإسلام. ثم شرع في جهاد الكفار، فكانت غزواته صلى الله عليه وسلم الكبرى غزوة بدر وغزوة أحد وغزوة الأحزاب وفتح خيبر وغزوة مؤتة وفتح مكة وغزوة تبوك وبعث أسامة، كلها لجهاد أعداء الله لإعلاء كلمة الله، وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله، لأن الجهاد هو لجهاد كفار ودفع أداهم عن الإسلام والمسلمين
وإعلاء كلمة الله سبحانه وتعالى حتى تكون كلمة الله هي العليا وكلمة الذين كفروا هي السفلى.
Also, we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he later on performed al-hijrah after living for 13 years in Mecca and so forth. He later on performed the hijrah, or he emigrated to Yathrib, or what we know to be al-Madina al-Munawwara, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the first time that the Muslims nation had an Islamic solidified nation where they were the rulers of the place that they were living in, where they were not persecuted from within their own cities. Therefore we see at this time the Rasulullah was given permission by Allah Jalla wa Ala to go and wage jihad and struggle in the path of Allah, to raise the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the banner of al-Islam. And it started with the battle of Badr, as we all know, until the end of his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued struggling in the path of Allah, so that the word of Allah is raised not for any other reason, not for land or leadership or politics or wealth. It was only solely so that the word of Allah is to be raised. And this is where we understand from his words and the words of the Quran that the struggle that is accepted from a person is that where he intends that the word of Allah is raised above the rest.
وفي السنة العاشرة حج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجة الإسلام واجتمع مع أصحابه في مكة بعد أن فتحها وتحولت من دار كفر إلى دار إسلام، وكان معه 100,000 أو يزيدون، وخطب فيهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة جامعة لأحكام الدين وأصوله وحقوق المسلمين وأمورهم، وقال لعلي لا ألقاكم بعد عامي هذا. ثم قفل من الثاني عشر من ربيع الأول في السنة الحادية عشر توفي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد لحق بجوار ربه راضيا مرضيا، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة. طويت صفحة النبي كبشر، طويت هذه الصفحة، عمر 63 سنة، طويت صفحة البشرية، لكنها انطلقت كرسالة، طلقت كرسالة إلى يوم القيامة، انطلقت رسالة لتنقذ الناس، كل الناس، حتى يلقوا رب الناس، تنقذوهم من عبادة العباد، عبادة الطواغيت، عبادة الأصنام، عبادة الأهواء، عبادة الشهوات، أعبد الله وحده. ولذلك فهذا الدين هو الدين الذي سيمكن الله له وسيبلغ ما بلغ الليل والنهار وينتصر بإذن الله عز وجل على كل الأديان. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره. أرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن نكون قد وفقنا في بيان هذه الأمور التي تتعلق ببشرية رسول الله وتتعلق برسالة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فاجتمعت فيه العبودية واجتمعت فيه الرسالة، فصلى الله عليه وسلم كل ما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون، وكلما نزل مطر وحف شجر وسار ماء ونهر،
صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The Sheikh's concluding words described the final departure of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he began by saying, in the 10th year after the Hijrah, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed his farewell Hajj. It was his final Hajj, where he admonished the people who came with him, and this is obviously after Mecca was given to him and he was victorious and returned to where he was expelled from. He was accompanied on this Hajj by more than 100,000 Muslims. And this was after 22 or 23 years of having been given the messengership. He changed the face of the region, where people now left idolatry, left shirk, and turned to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day of Hajj, he admonished the Muslims and reminded them by saying, this may be the last year that I meet with you today. Like, this may be the last time that I will have this opportunity to stand in this place and admonish you. And he gave them an admonition that varied from all levels of society and covered all aspects of religion. He also, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after returning from the Hajj, he remained in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, and in the 11th year after the Hijrah, on Monday the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, in the 11th year of Hijrah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and returned to Allah Azza wa Jal. This was the end of his life as a human being, but it was the birth of his message to humanity. It was the end of his life as a man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it was the birth of his message to all of humanity that is going to ring out from that time until the day of judgment. And for this reason, we have the certainty and the knowledge that the religion of Al-Islam, that the Tawheed, shall overcome all in the end. For it is the truth that was sent to Al-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is what calls against and warns of that which is prohibited: idolatry, desires, doubts, suspicions, evil, sins, and calls to that which is virtuous and blessed. And therefore, this is something that we are sure of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent His messenger, بِالْهُدَى, with guidance, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, the true way of life, the true religion, بِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, and He shall make it be what will be elevated above all other forms or previous ways that people used to come to know or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it is the final message, the most complete. And this, in conclusion, we state, this is just an introduction to the life and the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh concluded by sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. One or two quick questions, inshallah. The question that is asked, at the time of the death of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you mentioned to us that he was with Bani Sa'd, or they were his caregivers. When she passed away, did he return to them, or did he transfer
to his grandfather and not return to them. And the Shaykh answered that he immediately after her death, he went to his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. No.
بالنسبة للمعراج هل كان على الفراق أيضا أو الإسراء فقط؟
طبعا المعراج هو آلة العروج، لكن لا نعلم كيف عرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. البراق لم يعرج مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The question that was being asked, you mentioned that the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم in his journey from Mecca to Jerusalem to Al-Quds, he rode upon al-Buraq, and this is what, how he arrived in a quick amount of time. Was this the same thing that he used to go to Allah subhanahu to up in the Mi'raj, up above, up in the heavens? The Shaykh answers by stating that as for the Mi'raj, we believe in it. As to how it was done, or in which vehicle, or how it was performed, in which capacity, Allahu A'lam. This is something that we refrain from answering, for there is nothing that is fully attributed. Yet we know that the Buraq was not used for this purpose. هل صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالأنبياء في مسجد الأقصى نفسه أو
طبعا المسجد الأقصى كان موجود، ولكنه كان غير ظاهر، يعني معروف ذلك. قال النبي وربطت البراق في الحلقة التي يربط بها الأنبياء ثم صليت في المسجد، فكان معروف المسجد. نعم.
The Shaykh answers the question that was being asked, when he led sallallahu alayhi wasallam the prophets and the messengers in Salah in Jerusalem, was it in Masjid al-Aqsa? The Shaykh answers by saying yes, for in his hadith the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I tied the buraq in the same place that the prophets had tied, he was the last one to tie, and I led them in the masjid, fil masjid. So it was something that was known in that region, and it was known previously throughout the generations. آخر سؤال. بارك الله. It was continued now. So what you're asking is, how is the message, how will it keep on going?
Yes. علمنا أنك كنت أن بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما زالت الرسالة إلى يوم القيامة. فهو يسأل ويقول كيف تستمر على نفس الكلام أو نفس ما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى آخر من يسلم قبل قيام الساعة، كيف تنتقل في هذه المراحل؟
طبعا رسالة الإسلام رسالة خالدة، بمعنى أن الإسلام هو الدين الخاتم، ولذلك فهو رسالة خالدة لكل الناس حتى قيام الساعة. وسر خلود الإسلام خلود القرآن، القرآن الكريم كتاب الله الخالد، لذلك بقي القرآن في هذه الأمة محفوظا، فبقي الدين محفوظا. يحمل هذا العلم العلماء ورثة النبي، فلكل نبي ورثة. من هم ورثة الأنبياء؟ العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، يحملون العلم كتابا وسنة، يدعون الناس إلى الله قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. إذن الدعوة يا إخواني أو الإسلام يستمر بأمرين. الأمر الأول العلم، والأمر الثاني الدعوة إلى الله. دعوة على بصيرة، قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا مشركين. ولا يزال طائفة منصورة قائمة على كتاب الله، قائمة على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل عصر وفي كل قرن، حتى يقاتل آخرهم الدجال مع المسيح عيسى بن مريم عليه الصلاة والسلام.
The question that was asked, you mentioned that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the time of his death, the risala transferred from being physically attributed to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam to therefore being something that is passed on generation to generation until the day of judgment. The messengership will keep going until the day of judgment. How will this transferring keep happening until the day of judgment? The Sheikh answers by saying, the risala, the message of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is eternal. It is an eternal message. And it is kept eternal, cannot die, cannot be diminished. It is kept eternal through first specifically the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vowed and promised its protection. And what Allah protects, none can tarnish. So therefore the Qur'an is intact, the same way it was at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore the eternal message of al-Islam, which is found in the Quran, is intact and eternal. Second, the Sheikh mentions that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after having passed away, he gave inheritance. He left inheritance. After a person passes away, we will leave money or clothes or property. But he left inheritance in the form of knowledge. And therefore he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ulama warathatul anbiya, the scholars of Islam are the inheritors of the prophets. So therefore the scholars of al-Islam, with the Qur'an, who are upon the truth, the scholars, who know the Qur'an, know the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ensure the preservation of the truth and the da'wah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore this can be summed up in the words of Allah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah to say, قُلْ, tell them, هَذِهِ سَبِيبِي, this is the way I follow. I follow this path, calling to Allah عَلَى بَصِيرًا, with full certainty and knowledge in what I'm saying, meaning that it is based on evidence derived from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I call to Allah with basira, with the certainty and truth and clarity, I and those who follow me, meaning those who followed his example sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling. And also we see Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, he says, surely you are the best of nations. Why? You order what is good, you forbid what is evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the Sheikh concludes by saying, this religion is protected and honored specifically with two things. Al-ilm, knowledge, and da'wah, calling to that which you know with certainty upon the basira, knowledge of what is true from the words of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sheikh concluded by reminding us that there will always remain throughout the history of mankind a group of Muslims, little they may be, who will always be established on truth. Never will they be harmed by those who repel them or those who disagree with them, because they are upon the truth. And they will remain in this way, always this group, until the last of them shall be alongside Isa alayhi salam, repelling and fighting the Dajjal. So therefore this is something that is known from the words of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is where we conclude after thanking فضيلة الشيخ أبو أسامة سليم الهلالي حفظه الله. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Please wait and listen to any announcement that may be of pertinent news for you.